If you get tired of me, you can just send me back to the kitchen. It's okay.
She said it. I'm not a sexist. About all you shaggy goose egg boys, and welcome to another Al Pacino's prison scene, the Sober Series podcast.
Yeah, are we gonna redo that
today? Yeah, okay, today is a very special day because it's another recommendation, because that's what we're doing, you know. It comes from a little gal named Kinley Clayton. She says,
does her name have all those hyphens in between the first two letters?
Yes. She says, hello, I think you should do an episode on Horton Hears a Hoomst.
That's all the email is.
Yeah, wait a second. That's not what I watched. Oh. I watched Horton Hears a Who.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Well,
I was actually...
No, Hoomst is the sequel.
Oh. Yeah. Ah, here we go again. Yeah. Sorry, Thomas. It's in the Shaun the Sheep all over again. Anyway.
I didn't watch that episode.
It's me. It's me, your boy, Jake, and then we got...
Kyle. I'm sitting on the other side of the table from everybody, and I feel like I feel very confrontational right now, and Chris is grabbing me.
That's not Chris.
Oh, that's JoJo.
That's JoJo.
I'm JoJo. You can't see me because...
Deal!
Yeah, I'm dressed up as JoJo from the movie.
And then always because, well, can't say that. She's here also.
Who are you going to say?
Who doesn't like the B name? It's...
My wife.
See, I didn't say that because I thought that we weren't saying.
Well, by this time, it would be known.
Okay.
You gonna introduce yourself?
Hi.
That's good enough. All right.
All right.
Horton Hears a Who. JoJo. Take us away. Hey, you brought notes this time.
Yeah, I did. No, probably.
And he wrote them with a Sharpie. I hate that.
I'm probably still. Okay. So, Horton Hears a Who starts out with Horton has a very Shrek-esque theme. He's getting ready for his day. And he meets the kids who are little kids of the jungle, and he teaches them, kind of like the stingray and Nemo, about the world and everything. So this kind of establishes him as a kind of a role model, very impressioning role for the kids.
Are you nervous?
Yeah. So, in teaching the kids, he hears a little...
Touch the butt.
He hears a little speck of dust say, hey, you know, and that's the who. That's the who. They're
I love that band.
All of...
Who's the who?
Doctor Who.
All of Whoville is in a little speck of dust. And it lands on a flower. Well,
should have brought my song.
It lands on a little flower that Horton picks up in
clover.
Clover, yeah. And he carries it around with him, and he starts talking to the who's and everything. And then the kangaroo is like,
"Humph!"
Yeah, yeah. She don't like that. She don't like that he look crazy and he's talking to a clover. And so at this point, the narrator actually reveals Whoville, and we get to see the lives of all the Whos. And we see the mayor and his 96 daughters and his one son named JoJo.
That's me?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that. We have the one and only.
And since he is the son, he gives him a little bit more attention, only because he is supposed to fill in his role as mayor when he becomes of age. And JoJo doesn't really talk, but that's kind of the point, because he's not really supposed to have much of a say. And so...
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
we're not there
yeah.
yet.
I like that.
So anyway,
We go back
to real life, and we meet Horton's friend, who's Morton, who is a little rat voiced by another little rat named Seth Rogen. And Seth Rogen's not rad. I like him. He's a stoner, but I like him.
Hey, that was pretty good.
Morton's like, okay, hey, I'm your friend, but you do sound a little crazy, so you can tell me, but don't tell anybody else. And Horton's like, well, okay. And so little kids come up, and they're like, hey, Horton, what you doing? And Horton's like, well, I can't tell you what it is. And the little kids are like, well, we won't tell no... If we tell somebody... then we'll just tell them not to tell nobody. And Horton, being as sweet as he is, he's like, okay, kids, I can trust you. And so he tells the kids about the little who is in Whoville is on the speck of the clover. And that gets around to the parents. But anyway, we go back to, while this is happening, we go back to Whoville. And we see the mayor trying to tell the council that they may need to cancel the event because, you know, there's some strange things going around in Whoville. And the council is like, hey, no, we want to have fun. We don't want to cancel our festival. So, you know, screw you. And he's like, oh, okay, well, we might die. And so the mayor is kind of, you know, troubled. And he hears Horton at this point.
Oh, the mayor hears a Horton.
Mayor hears a Horton. And so
that's the title across the Atlantic.
He starts. Yeah. So anyway, the mayor starts to talk to God, also known as Horton, the great elephant in the sky.
It's stealing everybody's thunder. Stop analyzing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. But
I'm gonna cut that out.
Okay. But anyway, instead of being like super ominous about it, Horton straight up tells him that he is on a speck. He just shatters his entire worldview. And the mayor is crushed and doesn't really know what to do, and he's freaking out, so he goes to the scientist and says, hey, you know, if we were on a speck and all this shit, what will happen? They're like, hey, tremors, and also the world will end. And he's like, oh no, my fears have been confirmed. And so we go back to Horton, where he sees the mountain. He's like, hey, I'm going to take you up to that mountain where you will be safe. And so we start the hero's journey over to the mountain. And Horton goes over to the mountain. He makes it past the bridge. And the kangaroo says, oh no, I have to stop Horton. And so she hires a buzzard who says, hey, I'll do it if you let me eat your kid. And she thinks about it for a second like a fucked up bitch. And she's like, nah, I'm a go to the monkeys. And the buzzard is very racist because apparently he doesn't like monkeys doing work. And so
I did not know where you were going with that. Oh my god. Okay, you can't see it. Everyone, when he said that, just gave the biggest eyes and just did not breathe for 10 seconds. We were like, Chris, where are you going, man?
You know, looking back, that didn't really settle. Can we cut that?
No.
Okay, so I told it a joke and it didn't work. Anyway. Okay. So the kangaroo lady is like, okay, well,
You didn't let me do it last time. She goes, humph!
Oh, yeah. She's like, humph! And so she goes over to the buzzard and she's like, hey, will you stop Horton for me? And he's like, yeah, let me eat your kid. And she's like, oh, let me think about it. And I'll just let someone else do it. He's like, oh, no, wait, I'll do it. And so he goes over.
For free?
And, yeah, he does it for free out of pride.
And, oh, God, Kyle. No, what you do is $10 if you get that reference.
Yeah.
That's the thing we do. Yeah.
No, I know. Because I saw you about to breathe in, and I said, I'm going to destroy this man.
It was bedtime stories.
Okay, and at this point, we go back to Whoville, and it starts to snow, and the scientist is like, hey, mayor, you're right. Like, the world is going to end. He's like, oh, thank God somebody believes me. And so he gathers everybody around and says, hey, listen, my friend Horton's going to prove that we're on a speck. And so Horton's about to say, hey, you guys are on a speck. But then Vlad the Vulture swoops up and takes the clover. And they are gone forever, as it seems. And Horton goes on a trek, and he sees that the clover has landed in a field full of clovers. So he takes the time to pick through as many as he can until he finally finds the Destined Clover with the Who's in Whoville.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, can you stop rubbing my leg with your foot, please?
I'm not.
Yes, you're rubbing my leg with something.
I'm not rubbing your leg.
Hi, Chris.
I was. Was it you?
Yeah,
it was Kyle.
Jake did it to me first.
All right, anyway, Horton finds the Who's, and then he says, "Hey, Who's, it's me, Horton." And the Who's are like, "Oh, hey, Horton." And so everything's kind of cleared in that side of the movie. Yeah. But then all the people from the jungle catch up, and they're like, "Hey, what you doing with that clover, Horton? Better not be talking to it, you crazy, crazy goof." And and Horton's like, "Oh, well, yeah, I am, because there are people here," and they're like, "Okay, let us hear," and they can't hear because they don't got big ears like Horton.
That's true.
And so they try to put him in a cage and put the clover in a big pot of it was like something.
It was an acid.
Well,
nut
what they
oil
say,
is what they call it.
No, it's a bezel nut oil.
Oh, bezel nut oil. Is that a real thing or is that just a soup
thing?
Keep going. Okay.
Ooh. You say it three times, bezel nut oil will appear.
What?
Do you really think that's a real thing?
I.
Well, I have something to say about it.
There's a bunch of nuts in the world, you know?
Yeah, like these nuts.
Like, yeah. like JoJo over here. Oh,
I was going to say something.
He's a real nut.
But, all right. So anyway, yeah, the Who's make it to the jungle. And so Horton has to make all the jungle folk believe. And, you know, JoJo gets his big shine at this point in the movie because he's like, "Hey, Dad, I actually have a life." And so he shows them all of his music stuff and he plays all the music. And they all say, "Hey, we are here." And JoJo says, "Yup." To the sky.
No, you do it wrong every time. He does not say yup. He says yop.
Oh, yeah. He goes, "Yup."
Thank you.
And everybody's like, "Yup." They believe now. And the kangaroo's like, "Oh, no, I'm sad." And Horton's like, "No, it's okay. Here, have a cookie. I mean, you almost committed mass genocide, but here, have a cookie. Feel good about yourself." And so, yeah, at that point, they're all happy, and they break into a musical number singing, "I can't fight this feeling anymore." And then it zooms out to show that everybody's on a spec.
Hey, and Amy floats up into space.
Yeah, yeah. I love Amy. I like that character.
Last name Adams.
Yeah.
So Horton's God.
Yeah, all right, end of podcast.
Is he?
Yep.
Well, I mean, biblically speaking, if we were to take this as an analogy, yes, he would be God.
Yeah.
But is there a God beyond that God?
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to kind of...
But he wasn't always God is the thing.
Well, maybe.
Because he always existed. Well, no, he didn't always exist.
Well, I mean, you could say the idea of God and a people to notice him are intertwined. And so Horton is God when there are people
to
worship him as God. You can say that.
Well, but they, I mean, but it wasn't until, I'm thinking, my brain's, hey, we just got off like almost a 12-hour shoot yesterday. Yeah. We're all racking our big brains, so we're trying to think.
Oh, we're racking something else.
I'm actually just...
Focus.
Just happy that was the most cohesive... recap that I've done.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, one for three.
Yeah.
Me too. Anyway, oh god, I forgot what I was gonna say. Hey, you know who made this?
Yeah.
Blue Sky Productions. You know what else they made?
$10 if you can name it. Don't answer it. There.
Oh, it sounds
familiar. All right. Hey, but they're shutting down now.
Oh really?
Yep.
That sucks. Well, they haven't really
I'm not gonna
a good
say
movie
it, but
in a while.
Look it up.
It's Ice Age.
Why would you say it?
Why would you say that?
I forgot.
Okay. All right, anyway, God, I forgot. This is not...
Weep them out.
Hey, this is not going to be a good episode. I can already tell you right now.
No, it is. Trust me.
Okay.
I actually got some
Bezel nut oil. When I saw that, the first thing I thought was Beelzebub.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
They're essentially sending all the Who's to hell.
Mm-hmm. And that's Bezel nut, Beelzebub.
At the very least, you can say damnation, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very
Doom.
Least.
Doom.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
which
my
Doom
note.
Is set in Hell, the game. So you know
it is. Out. So at all, yeah.
It's also Mount Doom.
Yep.
Cast it into the fire.
Mordor.
Well, I really like Lord of the Rings.
What was that? What was that? What was that? Breath in. You went.
Yeah, because that was me doing the voice of it's a it no not a not clear. No, it's a other
Blitzkrieg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
and
know
that it echoed through the chambers and woke me from my slumber.
Well, Lord of the Rings.
This is not what he sounds like.
Oh God. No, it is when you're drinking. It, I swear to God, that's correct. Swear to Horton.
Hey, swear to here's me. The thing, though. Horton hears...
Is, swear to me!
Is it a question or a statement?
About what?
Horton hears a who.
It's Ooh. A statement.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look this up.
Well, if you're saying that the people are who's, like, they are the who.
Okay, it is an exclamation point.
Yeah.
All right. Who? What's Amy then?
Do what?
If Horton is God, what's Amy? The little ball.
Oh, what one thing that I was going to say is like before we get into this, define God.
Yeah.
Well, that a very interesting question, and honestly, I don't think my brain can operate on that echelon of thought right now.
That's okay. I answered it already.
Did okay. you?
Well, in my notes, I was going to read it.
Oh, is the answer I am?
No. Okay. Although you, we
All
can
right.
get into that.
Well,
but...
I honestly do not know how to articulate this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because my brain's too small or if I'm tired. Mm-hmm. But it seems that at least portrayed by this, God is something that comes about when it, for the sake of this argument, we'll say he, because that's how God is referred to in the Bible. He comes around. What is that?
I'm just kidding. I was being the woke.
Okay. He comes around, at least in this, in a time of need. When the people need him to show up, he shows up.
It's a sort of Gryffindor.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a good reference. $10 if you get that.
Yeah.
$10. Yeah, but I don't know how to describe it other than that. Because a lot of times you can make the argument yes, he comes about when he's needed. This is something that's argued about with prayer as well. You shouldn't turn to him when things are going good or when things are going bad. You should turn to him always.
Mm-hmm. Always.
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 Yeah. But that's kind of what – it's difficult because if we're going along the lines that Horton's God, well then it's saying that God is real. Essentially,
well, I was saying let's break the argument apart. Define God first, and then see.
Well,
if
that's what I'm trying to get to. It's not working.
Yeah, your hands
but
are really warm.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, Chris, define God.
I wasn't done.
Yeah, you were.
Okay.
Sorry. It's the confrontational.
But it's like yes. Oh, I lost it.
You were talking about prayer.
No, I lost it.
Okay, sorry. Chris.
What is God, Chris?
Whatever element that is the source of all life.
Okay.
That's a bitch answer.
Okay.
I mean, it's an answer. Claire?
I don't know, but in that with that definition, then Horton would not be presented as God in the story because he's just, he happens upon the world, but he didn't even know
created,
it was there before,
so. Yeah. So define God.
All right.
I
wasn't thinking of Horton
Kyle,
in the case.
I honestly think, I honestly think that's just an interesting question to ask people.
Well, number one, it's impossible to define.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to a philosophical definition. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can define God in a religious aspect because that already exists within literature.
Mm-hmm.
But to define what God is philosophically.
Well, even if you're defining it religious, you could just say omnipresent and omnibenevolent.
Well, yes,
if you can define that, then surely that is the definition of God.
But I'm thinking on like a force of nature kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
like how God exists.
Yeah, well, yeah,
in tandem with
about
the rest of the world.
Yeah, if you're
or the rest of existence.
Right. Well, yeah, if you're looking at it from a spatio-temporal perspective. Yeah.
I read comic books.
That oh, okay. I didn't.
My name's Doctor Strange.
What? Okay, so I said, and I thought this kind of also fit
Horton a little bit, is God is a philosophical or moral ideal manifested in a perfect person, or specifically a perfect being, I guess you would say, if you're talking about like God.
Yeah, and I think that's why Horton is an exemplar of this, because really, like, this spec that he kind of heard, like a
Bata?
And then, like,
he did hear that. Yeah.
He was like, oh, what's that? Let me save that.
Yeah.
And then he saved that for, I mean, no other reason than that's life and I need to protect it.
Yeah.
He shared no emotional attachment whatsoever.
Right. No, I agree. And wait, he shared no emotional attachment?
Well, in the beginning. When he discovered upon Whoville, there was nothing.
I was like, whoa, wait a minute. No, I mean, I agree. I think if Horton is not God, then Horton is certainly an example of the best person.
I agree, and I think
in the aspect of that, everybody has a spark of divinity within them.
Yeah,
that's the story of, you know, Adam and Eve.
Well, and I was thinking more along the lines of like he was more of like a Jesus figure. Because
if you're going for the perfect person analogy, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But in that same sentence, you know, the what's it called? The triumvirate?
You know, that's actually kind of interesting, because then the
kangaroo, what is it called?
The kangaroo would be, you're talking about the Holy Trinity?
Yes, there you go. Sorry, I'm...
But no, that's kind of interesting, because the kangaroo would be like the Pharisees.
Yeah.
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 Because I did want to talk about like that ultra-conservative...
This man
made
no sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's like, let's see, I can't remember if I wrote something down. No, I'll just go off of my head, I guess. I hadn't considered the Jesus aspect, because I was so fixated on the idea of Horton being a god, since he literally like did miracles
in their sight,
and he brought him up to the mountain, and I was thinking there was some connection between that and the Moses story, or the story of Exodus.
Well, that's why I bring up the Holy Trinity, because, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they all are God. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that he is God to the Whos, but at the same time, he exists in his own plane of existence, mm-hmm. right? With other people around him, so that makes me think that he is not the Father side of God. Or, no, that's exactly what he is. He's the Father to Whoville, but Jesus, the Son, to the jungle of Newell.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And that's going to stretch the analogy a lot. Just given that, like, you know, because there's a tiny world that he's taking care of,
right,
versus the world that he's living in, which is also tiny, and there are millions of other ones. And
right.
It's kind of like, you can almost just say that's parallel world theory or something like that.
I would go to say that he is, like, Jesus on... Sorry, he is Jesus on both sides. On both planes. On whose side, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, the element is more God, I guess. Well, sorry. The outside world is God, but like he comes and saves them. He chooses to help them.
Yeah.
He is their savior, basically, is what
I'm
saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, Horton's compassion and his ability to teach, because that's what he's known in the forest for the young and the innocent, necessarily, is that they ask him, like, one of the first things they do is like, hey, what is this? And, like, maybe he's not the best teacher, but he still does that out of, you know, whatever motivation you want to say. But, you know, when his big quote is like, you know, a life is a life no matter how small, you know.
A person is a person no matter how small.
Right? And that's an interesting thing, because you could say that, like, I mean, maybe not stated that exact same way, but that sentiment at least is certainly carried over in biblical stories.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because it's always like the, you know, the lowest person on the status that's taken.
Well, and he's
the hero.
That's not only that, but we see in the Bible that those are the people who God does work through.
Right.
Like Lydia, and then there's like Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's another one.
Well, I mean, obviously, like King David.
Well, you're right, 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 right.
There's that. There's, you could almost say any of them. You can even make an argument for Abraham, because he didn't really have anything. He was like 50 or 60 or something. He was like really old, and he left his father's tent and finally went on his journey. Like, that's where that starts, when like Abraham's like really old. It's like, you know.
And I think it's super interesting that they immediately set Horton up as a teacher. Mm-hmm. They show him where he plays in this world. But I also think so obviously we have this teacher archetype, but there is a sub archetype. There's a personality trait that often comes along with that, which is that of a protector.
Yeah.
And I think that obviously that goes into why he is the one to save the Who's.
Yeah. And I think, I could be wrong on this, but I think Jesus liked being called teacher, or he was certainly called it in the New Testament a few times. So there's that. I mean, I'll say it here, and you may disagree with me. I think they were explicitly going for the idea of him being God, and they did not understand what that meant.
The writers?
Yeah. And I think that's why it becomes a little muddled, because they're going for literally every single illusion, even though it doesn't match up. Or maybe not illusion, but every single characterization.
So are you saying that they didn't know what it was like? How do I say this? They didn't know what it was, but they still wanted to try and articulate it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even though they didn't know exactly what to write, they still wanted to try and.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's how I was the entire time. I was like, okay, clearly they're going for the idea that he is a God figure or something along those lines. I mean, because again, like the fact of him covering up the sun essentially with his ear,
yeah,
and bringing them up to a mountain and stuff to, like, you know, which, you know, Jerusalem, the holy city, is on a mountain. I was like, okay, clearly they're going for the God metaphor here, but I think that it falls short because they're going for so many different types of metaphors that fall with under that, but don't necessarily sync up together.
Well, I think that's why we can use the Holy Trinity analogy, because we do have elements of all three of those.
Yeah.
So I think that works in that case.
I think that's interesting. But does anybody else have anything else to say on this topic? Because if
Horton is God?
Yeah.
No, Horton is God.
Like
Shrek.
Yeah. Well, he is kind of like Shrek. I mean, you know.
The
film opens that way.
They are big boys.
Kind of.
And one is voiced by Jim Carrey, but I won't say which. $10 if you can guess. Coming out of Jake's pocket on the money we make from this podcast. Why are you laughing?
We make money on this podcast?
Oh,
Why didn't you guys tell me?
Oh, I went ahead and bought a new car.
Sorry, Chris.
That's unrelated, but...
it was okay. I don't deserve to get paid anyway. Am I, like, showing up at all?
No, you keep talking really quiet.
Well, even if I speak
See,
up,
that's
I'm not,
fine. Okay. And then when you're talking about stuff, you go...
Yeah, I don't think my opinion matters.
You go like this. Whoa. You're like talking like this. So I need you to speak at your normal voice.
Hey!
No, but... Okay.
What are we doing?
Oh, my normal voice?
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right, I'm cutting all this out.
LOL.
No.
3, 2, 1. All right.
I talk normal.
Did you have more to say about God?
I mean, I always do. Maybe that'll come back up.
I was scratching my knee
at some point.
And I touched your knee.
Grabbed my knee.
But well, that's then you looked at me and then I grabbed.
I had a lot to say about the kangaroo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
About God kangaroo or just?
No, just the kangaroo.
Kangaroo in general.
The kangaroo.
Okay. All right. I do too.
Okay. I do too, actually.
Cool. Okay. Well, who wants to start?
Well, I feel like.
And power.
One of the
obviously.
Things.
Okay.
Kangaroo is the Roman
Empire. I completely spaced out.
The kangaroo is the Roman Empire during the time of Jeebus.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
I think if you're going for that, I think it's more close to the Pharisees.
Oh, yeah. So,
I would agree with
maybe,
the Pharisees over the Romans.
Maybe
Roman.
Even the
Sadducees. Yeah, well, you're Catholic, so.
I'm not
no, she's
Catholic.
Not. She's Presbyterian.
Whoa.
I'm the original Protestant, so get out of my face.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Right, but yeah, the Pharisees is what she was saying.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I wasn't so much thinking like religiously when I was watching the movie as more just like the people aspect of like going against the established paradigm in whatever society you are.
Well, and that's why I'm saying the Roman Empire.
Yes, they are known for going against the grain of their culture.
No, I'm saying that the Roman Empire had like a set establishment.
Yeah.
And Horton was Jeebus.
Yeah.
And Jeebus said things that they didn't like, and so they attacked him.
Is that what happened?
They even crucified him.
Mm. What were the charges against Jesus?
I don't know.
What do you think they were?
Release Barabbas.
What did you just say?
Release Barabbas. Give us Barabbas.
Oh, Barabbas. No, it's Barnabas, was it not?
It's Barabbas.
Oh, no, Barnabas was Paul's companion. Yeah.
I know the Bible. Who's Barabbas? That's Kyle.
I corrected myself. I got confused.
Yeah, but I'm going to cut that part off so the listeners don't
know. No. I know who it was.
I know who it was.
Yeah, no, the charges against... first of all, okay, and it's kind of similar with Paul as well, though Paul was a Roman citizen, so it's a little different.
Hey, this one's for you, Dr. Anderson.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
$10.
I don't even know almost that's from.
Wait, you don't know what that's from?
No.
It's from The Matrix.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, right before he said it, I remembered.
That's funny.
Because my boy Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. Hugo Weaving those baskets.
I was going to make a weaving joke, but he beat me to it.
Yeah, you're wearing a weave right now.
Hey, that was weave.
Anyway.
Anyways. Oh, God, what was I saying?
You were correcting me.
I'm
the charges of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. The thing is the Roman Empire who crucified Jesus, yes. But that was after an extremely extensive process by the Sadducee.
But it was the government.
Yes.
Resisting the changes that were brought about
a religiously backed government, is what I'm saying. Like,
no, and I agree with that.
Like, the Roman government did not care what was going on with Jesus. Like,
they really only did it from basically from political pressure from the ruling.
Hey, I agree, but who made the decision to crucify Jesus? Pontius Pilate. And what was he a part of?
Did he make
the
decision?
Roman government? Yes. He was the guy who was like...
But he didn't even really, like... He wasn't even upset at what he was saying.
No,
he just
I understand that.
Yeah.
The people made the
decision. I understand that.
Yeah.
But Pontius Pilate was the one who was like, hey, crucify that guy.
Peter.
Hey, Peter. Yeah.
Man, I wish...
So I understand that the Pharisees and Sadducees were like, hey, we don't like what he's doing because we want to stay in power. But the Roman government was the one that was like, hey...
Man,
it was a Roman soldier that stabbed him, not a Pharisee soldier.
Yes, that does not back up. Okay, yes, because logically that's where they would be.
Yes,
and first of all, I don't think the Pharisees can even be around like dead bodies. I think there's like a Jewish thing about that.
Point proven.
Okay. man, if I had thought about the Jesus connection before, I would have read up on that. It's been a while. I haven't been focusing on the New Testament.
Hold
my head up high. It's been a while
since I read the Bible.
Okay. The breath you left when you took away. You ought to know what the charges against Jesus were. Right? Funny. Up top, Claire.
Okay.
She did not high five.
I'll high
Thank
five
you, Chris.
You, Chris. Oh, okay.
Stop trying to grab my hands all the time. Okay, but I will agree with your thing about going against the society at the time.
Yes.
And I think the rabbit again. I didn't consider them as a religious idea. I only thought of like Horton being God, so I didn't think about the Pharisee connection, but the rabbit certainly is like an ultra conservative.
The rabbit?
The kangaroo, sorry. Yeah, kangaroo. They're the same thing.
You should know it's just a big... who the main antagonist of this film is.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Humph.
Karen.
Karen, I'm sure.
She is a Karen.
She didn't really care about her kid.
No, she didn't. No,
she kept, yeah, she kept sheltering him.
Go back to your room, Rhodey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get in your pouch.
That Rhodey is interesting, though, because she claims to care about her children, but she...
she doesn't.
Very obviously.
Well, no, she never claims.
No, she does say, like, stop saying these crazy things for the sake of our children. We have to, yeah, like,
but that wasn't a cry actually for the sake of the children.
No, that
that's what I'm saying.
A manipulation.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, and it's that's used a lot too.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like even in, I would. Oh, there was something in the 80s. Oh yeah, it was Satanism. So there was a rise in Satanism, like in the certain city, I believe, and I can't remember what it was. And this was back in like the 80s, and basically like
Dungeons and Dragons. But was this around the time?
Maybe.
You look like you'd be a Satanist back in those days.
Well, I am dressed like Finn Wolfhard at the moment.
And he plays Dungeons and Dragons.
I know.
That's true.
So,
and he was in the 80s.
Coincidence?
He was in the 80s.
No. Coincidence?
I think not.
$10. Don't say it.
Coincidence for, wait, $10 for what?
I think not.
He's not getting it.
Yeah, it's Finding Dory.
Oh, I...
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Jake knows.
Back to what you were saying.
What was I talking about? The kangaroo.
Humph.
Oh, the 80s. Yeah. So there was like a rise in like Satanism in this one town, and basically like the religious people there wanted to not let them worship because they were doing stuff out in public, right? And they were saying things like, I don't know, like, you know, worship Satan or Satan's good. And they made a court case about it too. And I don't know if it went to the Supreme Court or not, although I suspect it did. Where essentially the courts ruled in favor of the Satanists. They said, no, they have religious expression or freedom of religious expression. But one of the arguments made during that time is like, what is this going to do to our kids, you know, with the Satanists out there?
Well, no, and I agree. It always is about the next generation.
Yeah. Right. And I think specifically political activists use their kids as shields from criticism. And I think that's what the... I just got really political there.
I'm doing it for the kids. So.
How dare you? You know, if you know, you know.
Yeah. It's dead. The only example I can think of at the moment is the South Park movie. And other episodes of South Park where Kyle's mom, anytime she makes like a huge protest about anything, It's because of like in the movie, it was about Phillips and Terrence who had like this
Think of the Children
show that was all cussing and fart jokes, and kids really liked it. And so the whole part of the movie is that she's trying to kill all Canadians because Terrence and Phillip are Canadian.
Yeah.
And it's like for the children. Mm-hmm. And that's in many other episodes of South Park.
WandaVision.
If it's for the children, it's a noble cause. Right.
Yeah, but it's under. It's like you can't attack them as much because
they're hiding behind these human shields most vulnerable.
That's why it's so effective, and I know that we all agree with that. But specifically in this film, because it is all about the protection of people, and specifically, at least in Horton's world, the children, because like every like person that we see has a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Humph is like, the children, they're all like,
yeah, the children,
not the gumdrop children.
Oh yeah.
Nickel. If you know that movie,
Nickel.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is insanely evil. It is like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least with what Humph is doing in this.
Sure. But the children are the only ones who are able to see past that, because they're able to see what the kangaroo is doing.
Yeah,
because
Rhodey is the one that hears it first after after JoJo says yop.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and therein lies. Therein lies.
Why did he say yop? Why did he? Why is
that's
that
all I could pay Nick Jonas for.
I knew it was one of the Jonas Brothers.
No,
I have no idea. I just someone mentioned Jonas Brothers, and so I just like
that was me then.
Yeah.
Here's a hoopst.
So, but so here's the thing: this movie, I think, is about truth.
Jesse McCartney.
What?
Who should?
He's the guy who sang "Candy." I want candy. Am I right on that, or did I just, offend everyone from the 90s?
I have no idea.
I didn't realize that was.
I thought it was about a stripper. I'm pretty sure it's about a stripper.
I'm in love with the stripper.
That song, I'm pretty sure, is about candy.
Oh, he looks like he sounds like that guy.
Yeah. Wait, why did people also Google Jason Lee?
Who's Jason Lee?
You know, he's got a thing out that's like photography with Jason
Lee. Oh, God, he's got his thing out. I don't want to see that.
Right. I like Jason Lee. Yeah. I like My Name Is
Earl. Seth Rogen laugh.
My name is Earl. Oh.
You kind of like the I'm just a Bill guy.
I'm just a Bill in my life.
No.
Sorry, that's one of my friends.
Anyway, yeah, super evil. Like,
because everybody's
like
trying to kill him.
Wickedly, disgustingly evil what she's doing.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it would be a shame if people did that politically now.
Yeah, how crazy would that be if...
Thank God nobody does that.
If politicians were like...
Nobody does that.
If politicians were like, ooh, I want to stay in power, so I'm going to lie and manipulate and tell people what they want to hear to get any emotional reaction out of them so that I can stay in power.
Not even what they want to hear, what they suspect to be the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy.
And so here's the thing. I think this movie is about truth, specifically about knowledge and the truth in that. And that's where we're about to get into epistemology.
Knowledge.
Okay, so
here in my garage
Are you, did anybody like write Plato's allegory of the cave in their notes? Because
I didn't, figured but I can talk about that all day.
It's the only thing he's ever read.
Me?
That's the only
funny.
That's
funny
the only smart thing that I immediately thought of when I watched this movie.
No, I have a diagram on my phone that like saved my photos that I refer to all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go ahead and explain it then.
Don't fuck it up, Chris.
Kyle can go ahead and I'll just piggyback off.
I want to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I want Chris to do it.
Okay. Well, what?
All right. So there's a cave, right?
Yeah.
And there's like a couple people chained up to a cave wall. All right, and they're staring at the other side. Well, there's like a rock in the middle or something that they're chained to. And they're forced to look at one side of the cave wall. And behind them, there's like a fire. Right, so they're looking at the cave wall. Behind them, fire that's casting shadows. And the only thing they can see is the shadows. So all they know is shadows and what those shadows look like. But one day, one of them breaks free and escapes. And they go outside of the cave. And they see everything that the world, the real world, quote unquote, has to offer that's outside of the cave. And then the guy who breaks free runs back into the cave and is like, "Hey, look, guys, there's stuff outside the cave."
And the rest guys are like, "No, you're stupid.
Yeah.
There's nothing outside the cave. And if there was, we don't want to know about it because that scares us."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they preferred to be locked up or chained. Yeah.
Hey. 1984, baby. Freedom and slavery.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
All right. Now, what do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's very relevant to the theme of Horton Hears a Who.
Barbara. Oh, sorry. Claire. I forget.
Wife. She kills you.
Bride. Socrates even says that that allegory is what it's like to be a philosopher, that you're ridiculed for bringing knowledge that was not already known.
Like exactly what Humph talks about, what this film kind of talks about is like when you question what is reality or you question what is right, you question anything, and like you said, like that upsets the supposed balance that exists.
Yeah.
And so when something is out of balance, it creates chaos. Mm-hmm. But see, the thing is that we humans view chaos and order as somehow opposites.
Every single time I say chaos, he mentions that.
Said chaos.
Well, yeah, I know. But so I was going to talk about epistemology, right? Which is the type of, it's the study, study of knowledge, but in there was specific
philosophers thinking about thinking.
Yeah, I sent that to Jake, and he thought that was funny. But there,
which, hold on, it was just funny because as soon as you started, as soon as I read that, I started thinking about thinking.
I know, right? Yeah, it's messed crazy.
Me up, man. Yeah. Like, how crazy is that?
That your thoughts just come seemingly from nowhere.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then like you can like out of nowhere, you have this entire viewpoint that like contradicts what already exists. And to think that the human mind can like comprehend that change, mm-hmm. it's just wild.
Well, some can't.
Some can't.
Well, that's true. But yeah. But the ones who can, it's like.
Oh yeah, no. That's why. Wait a second. That's why you say they're enlightened.
Like anything, like the idea of like new techniques in filmmaking or new techniques, new flavors in food. How you think about the knowledge you already have, like different pieces of knowledge that you have, and then you put them together. To create new knowledge is,
yeah. Sorry, okay. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Jake took an edible before this. Apparently.
Sounds like it.
So, but there are three types of knowledge. There's procedural, acquaintance, and propositional. Procedural knowledge is the gain. It's gaining knowledge by performing an action, right? That's you do something and then you learn about it by doing it, right? There's acquaintance, which is knowledge gained through experience of something. So, someone can tell you something, or you just observe. Something happening and you learn about it by that. Then there's propositional knowledge. That's declarative statements that appear to describe state of affair or facts. And the propositional statement that is uttered by a kangaroo woman is that if you can't see, hear, or touch something, then it doesn't exist. And first of all, that's kind of an interesting thing if we're talking about Horton being God, because, well, one of the most known aspects about God in general is that you can't see, hear, or touch. God.
That's why it's a bit difficult for me to say that he is representative of God, is because right. This film says that God is real.
Yeah.
So that's why it's difficult for me to say that.
Well, I mean, you can make that argument about something like Bruce Almighty, where it's right. like we can see it because for the and you could even make this argument for the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a narrative. There is a story that is trying to be told, and you cannot tell stories without personified things.
And I agree with that, but there is just that little hindrance for me.
No, I agree. But there are actually three ways to form new knowledge, or three things that are required: belief, truth, and justification. You need those
power
three.
Power threes, baby.
Yeah. But I read on some John Locke and René Descartes.
I'm sorry, who?
René Descartes.
I'm sorry, who?
I've only...
Docrates?
René Descartes.
No, it's got an ES at the end.
Right, but he's French, so...
Oh, so he's René Wee Wee.
Okay. Right.
For a while, I pronounced...
For a while?
That's not the lyric. But it's been a while since I pronounce Socrates as Socrates.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she
I'm
and I was
sure I'm
and
the
I
one
was
that told you that wasn't.
And I was trying to talk all smart so to crates. People, and then so she's crates. Like, "Hey,
yeah." He goes, "It's the Socratic method."
Yeah, but it's Descartes.
I've only seen it on paper.
I think I did.
Wait, have we Socratic. Had this? I think we've Socratic. Had this discussion before.
Not about Descartes. No,
I'm sorry. Who? I'm pretty sure we. Had, who was it then?
It wasn't me.
We talked. No, me and you talked
we
about.
We talked about somebody, and I pronounced something wrong. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Descartes because it was in your book. You're using the philosophy book.
It could have been then. I don't know. I don't like change, so I'm gonna keep pronouncing it the same way.
Right, Humph.
Yeah.
Humph.
No, exactly. That's the.
Okay. That's the joke, guys.
That's the joke. Humph. So, anyways, So John Locke.
No, it was said in this podcast.
Hey, is he the one that said "Homo homini lupus est"?
John Locke?
No, it wasn't him.
John Locke was an English thinker, so no. Also, John Locke is amazing because he pretty much formed the U.S. Constitution before it was written. At least his thoughts about how government should work. Anyways, John Locke says that because there are no universally accepted principles, there is not innate knowledge that one is born with. So where does knowledge come from? Bless you.
Thank you.
The only thing we immediately perceive are ideas, and because of this, knowledge of the exterior world is only due to the senses, meaning it is not knowledge at all, but perception. So essentially what he is saying there is that because there's nothing that's universally accepted. We know this because in different cultures, even the idea of what a good person is not the same. Even radically different in some cultures. There's not innate knowledge that one is born with. And you could argue against that, you know, because like babies do have the ability to do things, but you could also argue that they are just representing what the people around them are doing. And
for those of you who don't know, Plato is the one who originally suggested that you are born with all knowledge.
Yeah.
And then John Locke came up with the idea, or not came up with the idea, proposed tabula rasa, which is being born with a blank slate.
Yeah.
So that kind of correlates to that. I just wanted to make that connection.
Well, yeah, because, and this was like post-Enlightenment, and there was a lot of changes in thoughts during that time. But I wanted to pair that with what John Locke specifically was saying about the senses and how the only thing you perceive are ideas, not objects, because your senses are what, you know, understand objects, but it's your mind where you have your ideas. That is where your perception is.
Well, it creates the signals to.
Well, yeah, but even backing away from a scientific point, because they didn't know that yet. But I'm saying, like, you have ideas that you can have without a body. So imagine if you were just floating in space and you could not feel your body or anything, you could still say, no, I'm a person, you know, and you could still gather the idea of existence, without,
like ego,
without your body. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Nickel. If you know that movie, I don't know why I keep saying nickel. Because so,
we're broke.
Look at this photograph.
Every time it makes me laugh. Rene Descartes. He's the one who's famous for saying, I think, therefore I am, which is an interesting thing. You said God earlier, and you said I am. You know, I am the great I am, you know, that kind of thing. It's interesting. But essentially what that means is that because I can think, I know that I exist, right? So anyways, for thoughts to exist, there must be a source of those thoughts. Therefore, you exist. I just read exactly what I just explained there, and I realized it mid-sentence.
I guess we know who's somebody who doesn't think.
Yeah. No, I just write things down.
Poser.
So, yeah, no, I am. And so,
okay.
So, anyways, Descartes...
God, Kyle.
...said essentially that...
Francis Bacon.
Bacon, yes. But since you can think without the senses, there is a separation between data collected by the senses and ideas formed in the mind, even if they are not always mutually exclusive. So if there is a separation between objective reality and sensory perception, then fact can be surmised without the senses. So why did I go into that long ramble that could have taken me a minute, but Jake kept interrupting me? Is because specifically...
I was about to interrupt you again.
I know.
And then I just did.
Yes. Specifically, Kangaroo Woman does not believe that. She believes that knowledge can only be gained through sensory perception.
She's the old way.
Yes, exactly. That was a long way of me.
She's the old Sith
going through that.
If you can't see it, feel it, or hear it.
No, dude, this is actually this is the Skywalker saga. Horton is Rey.
Oh. She goes, I'm Rey. Ray what?
Ray
na, 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 na. Ray here's a who. Still a better ending than the entirety of episode 9.
Oh wow.
We should do that, and then I can just shit on it for 3.5 hours.
Well, I haven't even seen episode 9 because I heard how bad it was.
I mean, watch it.
Yeah.
Bro, she goes like...
Yo, can we watch that tonight, and I can just fucking... I can just roast the shit out of it.
Yeah, why are we just not cursing at all this episode?
Oh, because I listened to myself back and I realized that I shared this on Facebook.
Fuck!
I shared this on Facebook with my family, and I was like, maybe I should.
Oh yeah, no,
maybe I should not be saying that.
That's why I've toned down too. That's also why I haven't listened to the podcast.
Oh, I do want to say, and we're almost out of time. My question: why is Humph rejecting the spec? And I think people don't like simplicity in that, but like I feel like literally my answer is she just wants to stay in power because of her finitude. And that finitude stems from the idea of not being able to perceive knowledge beyond what is tangible.
Right.
And so because of that, she only seeks what exists, supposedly.
I feel like it's power, but I also think it's just fear of not being certain in what you have always thought to be true. And I have a quote.
She pulled something up, bro. Wait a second.
It is Arthur Schopenhauer, German philosopher. And it is, all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as being self-evident.
Yep.
Like, literally,
yeah.
The universe. Our solar system.
Because literally, the universe.
Our solar system. Like, the heliocentric versus geocentric model. It's like everybody before, what's his name?
Galileo.
No.
Copernicus?
Yeah, there you go.
Everybody before
Copernicus, yeah. And even after Copernicus, until Galileo, everybody was like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And then it was like,
They were putting him under house arrest.
That's exactly the point. Well, that Friedrich Chopin, that was a joke because that's a famous composer.
Yeah,
Chopin. Yeah, I know Chopin. Yeah, he does the. What is Chopin?
Chopin Bacalier. $10 if you know that.
I don't.
That's old school shit.
It's like the nocturnus.
There's something else.
Anyway, but yeah, it's crazy to think that like where we are now, and I think that this also is about like societal shift, right? Like the accepting of a new way of thinking as well. And it's like where we are now, thinking about what was accepted prior is like, yo, why would they ever do that? And it's like, that's just how it was until somebody was like, somebody was thinking, which is crazy. They were thinking and they were like, yo, hold up. That ain't right. Yeah. And then now we're here.
Well, exactly. And it's like,
that's wild.
And I think Claire was right on the money about, that's your clap since I called you a B word on
the, yeah.
So I think she was right about, she was right about, the fact that it's a fear of not being correct in your entire worldview, because Kangaroo Lady says that my knowledge and all knowledge comes from my ability to perceive the world around me through my senses. And Horton says, but there is more truth here, and you cannot understand that truth just with your perception. Maybe it's a matter of faith, but maybe it's also a matter of, you know, just being able to think for yourself, to think outside of tradition.
Well, I think
that Kangaroo cannot do that. And the thing is, when you challenge people's perception of how they view the world, they will lash out violently. Always.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Because if you hold something true to yourself, to your very being, how you define the universe, and someone crashes on that, like just completely demolishes that, you have no frame of reference how to act, and your first reaction is most likely going to be violent. And we see that,
and it doesn't really come down and become more accepted until the next generation.
Yeah,
which is resembled when Kangaroo Lady's son, Rudy takes the football clover guy. And she's like, hey, give it back, and he's like, no.
He goes
no, mom.
Yeah, no, it's
no,
yeah.
Mom.
No. It cuts to a scene from Rise of the Planet of the Apes where Caesar goes,
no.
Yeah,
there was just a block.
It was so weird. Yeah, it was like, it was kind of concerning. It put me out of the movie, but
well, it was near the end, so it was okay.
Yeah, so it was all right.
There's one more thing I want to talk about, and it's that
was that necessary
at all? Yes, okay. And it's how like I forgot.
It's like you just shit yourself or something. Come on, man.
God, where's it at? I don't know. It's like all the people. Oh, so the Grinch-looking people are like, let's do this democratically.
Oh, yeah.
But they're feeding into like the entertainment kind of thing. Like, it's a lot easier to not think about the future or think about the uncertainty whatever I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
No, I know what you're saying. You know. And I completely forgot about that, but that does parallel really well with the A story.
Yeah.
Because it's like what you said. There was a quote that they said, it's like, nothing bad has ever happened, so therefore nothing good, nothing bad will ever not happen. Wait, nothing bad will happen in the future, essentially, right. Because nothing's bad happened.
Which
in
is
the
just
past.
Insanely ignorant.
Yeah, but that's wild. That is extremely wild to me, because that, like, I tried to think about that for a really long time, because that is, like, I think this movie, well, it's made in Hollywood, so it's the old, it is a big F-bomb to conservatism, like, in general, and I think that's what the villains actually represent, is that they represent that ultra-conservative mindset of the past was good. Therefore, if we follow in that, the future will always
be. Does that make Ray a conservative?
Who?
Ray?
Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, because she's trying to keep the past?
Yeah.
I suppose. I don't know. I'd need to think about that.
Are we going to talk about the politics of Star Wars?
All right. Next episode, guys. hey.
Please.
All right. Ready or not, scale. Nobody blows up in this, do they?
No, even like explosions at all.
No, I don't think so.
This movie sucked.
It did.
Well, the bridge.
Wait, who suggested this?
Kinley.
Fuck you.
Damn. All right.
Hey, so, we're keeping it.
I think I can
time.
Maybe give it like a 0.25, because when they do like crash after Beelzebub or whatever the vulture's name is drops them, there's like a big old
Vlad.
Boom. Oh, Vlad the Impaler. Right.
Yeah.
There's a big old
that
boom.
Impaler, right? Vlad.
Yeah, it is because
Vlad.
The bunny.
I don't know why. Vlad. I don't know why I just now connected.
You look like a Vlad.
Connected it with Dracula. Because
Vlad the Impaler is.
I've been
Vlad.
In a big like vampire kick lately.
Hey,
I just finished,
hey, hold on.
I just finished Castlevania.
Hey, no, hold on.
It's awesome.
Hold on.
Okay.
Vlad the Impaler is not Dracula.
No.
Well, yeah, but
that's
it's,
Vlad Tepish.
No, okay. I
no.
was just talking more about
those
vampires in general.
You know that, right? Like, it's
they are the same.
You're going. It's based
person.
Off of the same.
No, Vlad the Impaler was a real person.
Yeah,
yes.
The Dracula is based off of. Right.
Yeah, it. What?
Well, no. But what
he's
I'm
based
saying
off
is,
the idea that the how the enemies feared him.
That's true.
Yeah, because he was like a blood sucking.
Yeah, but Vlad the Impaler is not a vampire.
No, not no. In real life,
yeah.
No, but
that's
no.
what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay.
Aren't
you.
There in some iterations that he is Dracula though?
Yes, in real life.
Okay.
Anyway, there is that big old whoop-oomp.
All I
so
know
I'm
is that you're not a vampire unless you sparkle and complain about your feelings for 4.5 movies.
Anyway, so I'm giving that like a 0.25. It's a little something. It's a little kiss. It's a little...
It was 3. Yeah, it was 4.5.
Yeah. Oh, I know everything about
anyway,
Twilight.
I'm giving a little...
My dad knows a lot
anyway,
about Twilight. Shouts out to my dad.
Anyway, I'm giving it a 0.25, a little kiss.
Yeah, so anyways, but Twilight... That shit rocks.
Let's
be honest. The first Twilight movie is actually pretty good.
I particularly like New Moon.
Which
has been a long time.
All right, guys.
Since
if you want to hear us talk more about Twilight or more about Star Wars, you know where to do it. Pacino Podcast. Pacino Podcast.
Shit,
<himself
again. laughs>
I gotta change my diaper. Pacino Podcast at gmail.com. Send us If you know where that's from, shout out.
What?
$10.
Speaking of $10, it's freestyle rap time.
I don't like. I actually don't want to do it. This
all right, that's cool.
No,
well,
I'm not done telling the people where to find us yet.
Okay.
PacinoPodcastGmail.com. If you want to hear us talk about Star Wars or Twilight,
yeah,
I'll talk about both. Team Jacob all the way. Fuck you, Edward.
Disagree.
But I will say, hey, 2022, baby. Hoo-wee. The Batman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tweet us.
I'm trying to think of something. Dude, it's overflowing. It's poop.
Hey, tweet us something. What should they tweet us?
What's the best kind of chair?
Send that over on Twitter.
Mine is anyone with back support.
At Pacino Pod.
Anyone with...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so I wrote a part. It's going to sound constructed. I debated not saying it. All right.
One fish, two fish, three fish, blue fish. This movie has a kangaroo who don't like what the truth is. Five fish, six fish, seven fish, eight fish. I shout out to Dr. Seuss, but now I guess he's racist. He got canceled, and I'm getting canceled too because I say some pretty bad stuff. But hey, you know, I'm not really a rapper.
What was ending? Did you say cracker?
No, I'm not really a rapper.
Oh.
Yeah, no, see, here's the thing, though. Stop, like, sauerkraut. I was writing a whole stop thing. Sauerkraut. Okay, yeah. Stop the sauerkraut.
Stone sauerkraut. Stone sauerkraut.
Where are they?
Where are the other who's going?